Hey, I'd like you to look at some of the questions that we have on our on the back of the notes. I want you to think very seriously about all of these questions. It's okay with me. A number of you are in growth groups. That's a great way to kind of run this through for some not only some nourishment, but to make sure that we're actually paying attention and doing something with what we heard and what we read. You know, remember Jesus said to his disciples, when you go out and make disciples, teach them to obey everything that I commanded you. Teach them to do exactly what I commanded you, to do something with what I commanded you. So we got to take it beyond the walls of this place, don't we? You know, I hope that today's message will stimulate your thought process, but that you'll take it beyond this. So that's why we have questions on the back. And I work hard on the questions. So I want you to just think about a few of these. The first one's just a kind of a little starter, kind of just to wake you up. When have you exhibited an unusual boldness that took you by surprise? When have you exhibited an unusual boldness that took you by surprise? Remember the days when people smoked in restaurants? Remember that? This one took me by surprise. It just absolutely blew me away. I was sitting talking to someone, and there were a number of small tables just side by side, and they were very, very close together. And as I was just talking with my friend across the table, everything was kind of crowded. The guy across from right, just this far apart, he turned and he lit a cigarette, and he turned right at me, not wanting to blow smoke in the face of the person he was sitting with, and he just, boom! And I have never before or since done anything like this. I said to him, put that out. And you can tell I'm not what you call a big muscle-bound guy. I have no idea, but he put it out. I'm surprised he didn't throw this water at me. Seriously, I'm just... So I'm asking you, this is kind of just a little, this is not a biblical question. It is just, when have you shown some unusual boldness that actually surprised you? To this day, I mean, it's 40 years ago that happened. It still surprises me. I'm here to tell about it. Second question, describe the open doors for the gospel in Acts chapter 4. I want you to think about what we're talking about today and describe with your group, or just think this through. What were the open doors in Acts chapter 4? And why is it sometimes difficult to recognize open doors like these, like the ones in Acts chapter 4? Number three, when you pray for open doors for the gospel, what are you actually expecting? What are you actually expecting? You know, we've been saying for months that we need to pray for open doors into the lives of people. And through those open doors, that we would be able to tell people about the hope that we have in Christ. So, when you pray for open doors, what are you actually expecting? And how do you recognize them? And what do you do with them? Question number four, how did God get your attention as in the believer's prayer that I just read in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31? And as you take this to heart, take some time yourself to pray for opportunities and open doors to share the gospel. This is a very bold prayer that was answered just like that. Wow. And the fifth question, what answers to the believer's prayer in verses 23 to 31 do you see in the great grace in verse 33 that followed? What does this tell you about God's very creative response to your desire to help seekers discover life-changing intimacy with God? Dennis, can we just have that? Do you have our theme? You can just throw that up. There we go. This is when I say our theme, this is actually our mission. It is our vision as a church. And Let's just look at the bold words and let's say those together. We're helping seekers find intimacy with God. Helping seekers find intimacy with God. If you look at your notes on the inside page, I have just an opening paragraph, and I usually start with something about this. For centuries, ordinary people, just like you and me, just like all of us, ordinary people. We are not newsmakers, right? But the most news we get is our obituary. Isn't that exciting? For centuries, ordinary people just like us have displayed courage in the face of opposition to the gospel of Christ. This should give us hope as we commit ourselves to, let's say it together, helping seekers find intimacy with God, leading to transform lives and impacting our community for that which is eternal. That statement right there, helping seekers find intimacy with God, is expanded in our broader mission statement in our documents. We're helping seekers find intimacy with God that is leading to transform lives and impacting our community for that which is eternal. We continue to pray for open doors to share Christ with family, friends, and fellow travelers in life. And then I ask this question, are you all in with this mission? You yourself, are you all in with this mission? Are you prepared? This could be a plural you, but hopefully it's a personal plural. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to pray for boldness? A boldness as we offer people something that will never disappoint. As we offer people, fellow travelers, that which will never disappoint. Are you prepared to pray for boldness? Would you open your Bibles, again, page, I think it's 1081, to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to talk through just for a few minutes some of what we mentioned at the beginning. But in verses 13 through 22, we see what's happening in the aftermath of Peter and John walking up to the temple. They're starting through the temple square, and there are thousands upon thousands of people in the court of the Gentiles. They are travelers from all over the world, and they're there for the Feast of Pentecost. And as they walk through one of the gates, there's a beggar that's been there every day for years and years and years. And he is known by everybody. They see this guy with his hand out or with a cup or with a hat or a piece of or cloth made into a little bit of a basket. And he's asking for alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. And Peter and John, he looks at them and he says, please. And they say to this beggar, look at us. Look at us. We have no money. Next. Isn't that what you do? Next. Keep going. We have no money, but what we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And Peter reaches out his hand and he helps this man to his feet. And in just moments, he's jumping. He's jumping. 40 years of never having anything, any strength in his legs. How many of you had a cast on your leg? Anybody here have had a cast on your leg? You know what it was like after they took the, remember what it was like when they took the cast off? You had this just limp noodle there, you know, and that's about what it was. I'll never walk again. Never. You're absolutely convinced of that. This guy is just up and he's running and jumping and he's praising God. And everybody around him is like, wow, same guy, same guy. This was not a staged healing. Same guy that we saw there for 40 years. In the aftermath of that, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the city, the spiritual leaders of the city of Jerusalem, they pull Peter and John in front of them, and they commanded them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop it. What would you do? You just saw God work in a miraculous way. Just your automatic reaction. What would you do? Ooh, I want to be a good Christian, don't I? I don't want to violate the authorities. So verses 23 to 31, we see them get together and they report to the other Christians there in Jerusalem. They report and they say, this is what we were commanded to do. We've been threatened. And so they raised their voices in prayer. And they didn't pray down fire and brimstone on the Sanhedrin. Do you notice that in the prayer? They didn't say, God, strike them dead. They're our enemies. They're enemies of Christ. Strike them dead. They didn't pray that. They just said, Lord, give us a sense of boldness. Boldness as we speak. Boldness. They didn't pray, Lord, change our circumstances. They said, change us. Change us. They prayed for boldness. Look at verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Go ahead, consider their threats. And enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. The end result of that? Well, the beginning of the end result. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What's that mean, they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Does it mean that they were speaking in tongues? No, doesn't mean that they were speaking in tongues. Does it mean that they had halos around them? No, it doesn't mean that. They were just the Holy Spirit that was already present in them, just another way of saying they were filled with the Spirit. They were controlled by the Spirit of God. It's like they were saying to God, it's the old word in the Hebrew was the word hineni. Abraham, when God called, Abraham said, hineni, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And so they prayed, and the Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, emboldened by the Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. What were the results? Well, there was lots. The book of Acts is full of results as to how they would speak in the face of tremendous opposition. But they began to speak. Where do you see open doors in chapter 4? Well, there's a lot of open doors here. Some of you, I've got friends that love pictures of open doors, of doors. You like pictures of doors? We've got a mission organization that we support. They have missionaries literally all over the world, and the name of that organization is Mission Doors, and our missionaries that are with Missions Door, they have cards made up, and they have like about, I don't know, 20 doors, different doors on that cover. Doors come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Some of the doors here, well, they They had the temple square, didn't they? It was there in the temple square that they proclaimed, they acted and they proclaimed Christ to a man who had been an invalid since the day he was born. And that's an open door. He saw Jesus probably go by day after day. That's Jesus the healer. And he's probably wondering, but what about me? But by now he's heard that Jesus had been crucified. End of that opportunity. That's gone. In the previous 40 days, he may have heard, people were saying, we've heard that he's alive, that he's been raised from the dead. And now comes this man, these two followers of Jesus, and they proclaim, the door is creaking open, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise. Open door. Open door in the life of every one of the people there that have heard something about this, and they heard that, and now they see this guy who dragged his legs to that place where he begged every day. They knew this was no joke. And they are filled with, the word is wonder. They're filled with a wonder what this is all about. Do they all instantly become followers of Christ? No, but God was starting to add hundreds and thousands to this team of followers of Christ. And then they stand before the Sanhedrin, made up of the former high priests and the high priests and all of these priests and Levites in Jerusalem who are political players. And they say, keep your mouth shut, no more talk of Jesus. And they say to him, at that point it sounds like door slam shut. And they say, they stick their foot in the door and say, well, you'll have to decide what's right for you, but as for us, we can't help but speak about that which we have seen and known. We can't help it. We'd be lying to ourselves, and we'd be lying to our culture. Well, mission door is the door is a little bit open. It's a crack with a foot stuck in there. Where do you see open doors in your world? Where could you expect to see open doors in your world? You know, the people around us every day they're dealing with life. They're dealing with they're listening to little smatterings of politics. They're hearing things about the economy. They're hearing all sorts of messages about the flu, and it's good if they take those things to heart. They're hearing about the way people abuse power. And they're wondering, what should we think about all this? The abuse of power is a horrible thing. Whether it is men abusing power, women abusing power, whether it's teachers abusing power or pastors abusing their power, whether it is parents, moms or dad, abusing their power with their words or their hands or their manipulation of circumstances. So every day we are brushing shoulders with people who are doing life right alongside of us. I wonder how many of those encounters just might have an open door. What do you think? What do you think? You're a student. You're an athlete. You're a parent. You're running like crazy from game to game. You're standing on sidelines. You're sitting in listening to a school performance. You're having coffee with a friend. You're out to lunch in a restaurant. You're in a grocery store. wondering if you chose the wrong line. Again? Where are the open doors? Well, it's a really funny thing. Open doors are everywhere. They are everywhere. Sometimes, when we pray for open doors, if we ask God, Lord, we've been, pastor said we should pray for open doors. We've been doing that for quite a while. I haven't seen any open doors. Where have you been looking? Are you looking for a double door? Or are you looking for a crack in a door? Are you looking to just maybe, it looks like the door is shut. It might be locked. Are you just going to go up and just kind of just push on it just a little bit? Just a little bit. It's like you push on it with a, hi, how's your day going? Are you going to push on that open door just a little bit when the person serving you in a restaurant says, is everything good? How does it look? Is this? It's good. Would you just go so we can pray now? We want to pray. If maybe you push on that door just a little bit and say, hey, before we pray, how can we pray for you today? And you see that waiter or that waitress time after time after time after time. And you just say, how can I pray for you today? You're talking to that person that you see regularly that scans your stuff at Target or at Ralph's. You just push on the door just a little bit. What do you have planned for Valentine's Day? Me? Valentine's Day? Are you kidding? Just push on the door just a little bit. Just a little. Are you praying for open doors? Are you praying for open doors? And if you pray for open doors and you pray for boldness, do you think God will say, no, I've got open doors for other people, not you? Anybody think that God would say, or open doors are for other people, not you? You're not a professional Christian. How many of you think, I wonder if you think our pastor sometimes feels a little bit awkward about open doors, sometimes I feel like I need to be undercover. Because I'm telling you honestly, guys. And it's because I want to be just kind of like an ordinary person, so that ordinary people can think you don't have to be a professional Christian in order to have a relationship with God. What? Because those of us who are ordinary people are the kind of people who reach people for Christ. I love these words from Peter, this same Peter that prayed that prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says this, if you will sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, you'll always be ready. If you'll let Jesus be the Lord of your heart, you will always be ready to tell people why you have hope. I was having breakfast this past week with someone, and the server that comes up to us, I was thinking about this beforehand, but I didn't follow through with it. I really wish I would have. The server is such a nice person, always so friendly, always so upbeat. We know about her husband's work, her son's work. We know that she moved recently into that area. And I was just about, I thought, maybe we'll just say, so how can we, is there something we could pray for you today? Maybe she'd say, I don't know. But next time we see her, just maybe she'll say to us, could you pray about, I don't know. Look for open doors. Expect open doors. Learn from each other Learn from each other where the open doors are. And pray for boldness to just sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart so you're always ready to tell people why you have hope in a world with news that's going on all the time, like the stuff that's going on all around us. Biblical boldness. See, they prayed for open doors, and then they prayed very confidently for these open doors, the second point in your three-point message. They prayed for boldness. And I want us to know that biblical boldness is not a sense of reckless impulsiveness. It is not reckless impulsiveness. When you think of people that are bold, who comes to mind? Anybody want to say somebody? Who comes to mind when you think of people who are bold? Come on, you can say something. Say it out loud. Trump. All right, got that one. The guy who sets the news agenda every day. He's bold, all right? Unfiltered, but bold. Somebody else who's bold. Tom Ward, we've seen him in action. Any place, on a bus, boom, just like that. Somebody he's going to only see for the next 6 blocks, and he's going to sow some seed. And we heard him, Tom is one of our missionaries, and we saw him in East London, and we're on the bus with him and for 6 blocks. And he was giving information to a mom about where she could practice her English. Somebody else? Who else comes to your mind? But Billy Graham, okay? Heidi's who? Grandpa, okay? Now, before you go any further, name somebody who's not a professional Christian. Come on, give me somebody. Yes, Barbara. Wow. Did y'all get that? The wordless book, the 5 colors, led the lady to Christ right there. That's for children. You can't do that with adults, can you? Cool. Praying for open doors, and open doors in 5 fingernails. Somebody else, you think of as that is bold. Schumer. Okay, Dale. He's bold. Somebody else that's bold for Christ. Come on. Somebody else who's bold for Christ. We've got some people right here in our congregation, ordinary people. I'm thinking of a 17-year-old young man. Can anybody tell me? He's not here today. Luke. Yeah. If that young guy is, yeah, Luke. And you know what? What's kind of funny about Luke? He's 17. Senior at Cal High School, but Luke has been doing this since he was 6 or 7 years old. You know, this is not something new. You know, he and his brother Richie were telling their neighbors about Christ. They're just bold. Well, what if they make fun of me? Give me somebody else who's bold. Which George? Actually, it's both of them. I've been with Dad George, where he's always putting the name of Christ out there in wonderful ways to people who work with him, alongside of him, or people with whom he's doing business as a plumber. Yeah, you know, boldness is described as a willingness, not so much to take these crazy chances, but it's just an unreservedness in speech or in life. It is to speak with clarity. It is to speak without ambiguity. It is to speak without a sense of of fear and it's also to speak with a sense of cheerful courage. Cheerful courage. How many of you like poetry? Anybody that's a poetry lover here? Are you a poetry lover, Reuben? That's cool. I have a book for you. Huh? That's my son-in-law. He says another one. I received the poems written by my friend, Joan. Bill and Joan Hargis have been friends since 1978. And Joan struggled a lot emotionally. If you've been around here at Calvary, you've heard me talk about Joan a number of times. But Joan and her husband were graduates of Iowa University of Iowa. That's the Hawkeyes, right? University of Iowa. So they've come out to visit us since we moved from Minnesota. They came out to take us to the Rose Bowl. And they did this the last time they played in the Rose Bowl. And Joan died 6 months later. During the many of the years that we knew her to struggle with just a lot of different things of self-worth and issues of self-worth, but she was a person who wore her, in a bold way, kind of wore her journey on her shirt sleeve. She just wore the journey. She wasn't afraid to tell people where she was at. And she also wrote a lot of poetry, and a lot of it included a lot of scriptures. But Joan died, like I said, about 6 months after that she visited with us. And her husband, Bill, a very bright, successful businessman who retired at 42 years old, well-heeled. But he and his wife have been so philanthropic always. And have given much. He and his sons took the things that she wrote, the poems that she wrote. You know, Joan prayed for open doors, and she wasn't a public speaker for the most part. She wasn't an in-your-face evangelist, but she wrote little cards, and in the grocery store, she'd just say to somebody, as they're just talking, "This has really meant a lot to me, and you know, I'm happy to share more of these with you." And they were verses from God's word. And they were words that she wrote. And Reuben, I want you to have this. You're going to get it anyway, but it makes for a nice prop. Would you stand up and we can shake hands? And okay, here we go. All right. But he probably would have liked some Star Wars poetry better. But this is amazing. It's amazing the way somebody can just pray for open doors and use the channels, use the relationships. Little things that are said. Not that you're trying to slide in there with a zinger. That's not the point. Don't slide in with a zinger. This means a lot to me. I love this illustration of this lady that had the fingernails with the wordless book on the five fingernails. I don't know that I'm going to try that, but I think I might be totally discounted, but praying for boldness, and walking through the open doors. Some things will happen along the way. Countless things will happen. And we'll miss a lot of open doors, guaranteed. I've missed a lot of them. And you've missed a lot of open doors as well. But one thing we need to understand, I know that there are people. I love this church. I've been here 28 years. I can recall the first time we walked through that door right here, and I looked at this place the way it was decorated at that time, and I wasn't impressed. And I was going to go home, and I thought, man, this is, I don't know, it was just dark, and it was, you know, I don't know. I wasn't impressed, but we've come to love this place. But what we love more than the place is the people, right? Church is not just a place. So this has been a place since 1929 where the word of God was spoken. But let me tell you this, please don't think that the open doors that really matter are the doors that we open out onto Bailey. Please don't think open doors are just the doors that get people into this place. Please. The open doors are the open doors into the lives of people that you and I will go out there into that world. The church is so much more. I'm not a fan when I hear people talk about the church that's on this corner. I'm not a fan of that expression because you are the doors. I'm the door. We pray for open doors that we will be able to have access to the lives of people and share with them the reality of knowing God intimately. A reality that will change their lives for all eternity. You know what happened right after this prayer? This is kind of just the way it's recorded. Right after this, they prayed for open doors. People started looking around their fellowship, and they noticed that some of the people around them were really, really in tough shape. This is part of seeing open doors. They noticed that these people were, some of them were pilgrims from way out of town there for Pentecost, and others were just flat out struggling with life. And people began to sell their possessions. They began to sell things like their land. And then they came and they presented the proceeds of that. They placed it at the feet of the apostles. You know, when you think of them placing that at the feet of the apostles, this is like an offering, right? The only thing probably missing was the organ music, you know, or the lutes playing, you know. But they were just saying, here, I just sold this field, and I want you to have it. Use it as you see fit in the lives of the people around us here that have need. Some of them were widows. They were what the Bible would call widows indeed. They were truly left destitute. And the apostles were taking care of them as people sold their property and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Doors are opening. Doors were opening. Because lives were being changed. And they had something even more than money to offer. And then in chapter 5, the first 11 verses of Acts, you'll see that there were two other people, a husband and wife, that saw what people were doing, and they thought, oh, that guy Barnabas over there. That wasn't his real name. It wasn't his Christian name. I guess it was his Christian name because the Christians named him that. But Barnabas sold a piece of property, and he laid that money at the disciples' feet. He would later be a major league influence in the life of the early church. But there were these two other people, this husband and wife, who sold a piece of property, and they decided to hang on to some of it, which would have been absolutely fine. If they decided to give $180, that would have been plenty. That would have been fine. People would have said, thanks a lot. But they came in and they thought, we'll lay this at the disciples' feet. Little organ music, little drum roll, a little bit of a spotlight on us right now. Barnabas is admired by everybody. Why aren't we? And Peter begins to speak. And he says, is this everything? That's everything from the sale of that property. And they said, Peter said, you know, you could have kept as much of that as you wanted. You could have kept all of it. You could have kept part of it. But you wanted to lie to all of us, and ultimately, in reality, you, in this act of religion, you were lying to God. And God's not going to put up with that. And Ananias fell dead. And the word is that the church and everybody that looked on were afraid. Do you know what that is? You know what just happened there? It was an open door. Not for Ananias. Well, it was one open door. It was an open door. And people all over were struck with a fear of the Lord. 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, shows up. Hey, how's it going? Where's my husband? Well, let me ask you a question first, Sapphira. Did you, you know that piece of land that you brought? Did you guys offer the whole thing as an offering? The whole price? Was that an offering to God? It was. You hear the feet of the people coming back into the room? Those are the guys that just buried your husband, and they're coming to get you. And she dropped dead, and they hauled her out. And once again, the door was open. Because it says the fear of the Lord struck everyone. Tell me that's not an open door. God, our God is a loving God. He is a loving God, but he's also a no-nonsense, holy God. And we don't get away with lying to him. So do you pray for open doors? Will you pray for open doors this week? Will you pray that God might use you to help someone else begin to discover intimacy, real intimacy with God, that comes through the one and only Savior, Jesus? What do you have to offer? What doors will all of us see? What doors will we just gently push on or knock on? Father, thank you so much for your word and the way it probes our minds and hearts, and for reminding us this is not just a piece of ancient history, that this is the reality that describes a true and amazing relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that I would be bold, and that all my friends here who know and love you would be bold and just kind of notice the doors that are open around us. Thanks for giving us time, and we pray that we would make the most of every moment. In Jesus' name, amen.